as far as the spousal responsibilities, husband and wife. And I'd like to continue with this lesson this morning. I'd like for us to open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. I'd like to go back to the virtuous woman. But before we begin our class, let's go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings that you give us daily, Father. We thank you so much for the rain that you gave us early this morning, Father. Thank you for all your blessings. But most of all, Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We ask you, Father, to be with us this morning, that we come prepared, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. That this worship service, Father, may be to your liking. Bless each one of us, Father. Open our minds, our hearts to your word. That as we study your word, Father, that we may learn, Father, to be better husbands. That we may learn to be better wives, Father. That we may learn to be better children to you. And obedient children, Father. Be with us to this morning, Father, and forgive us when we fail thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we said we were going to start with Proverbs chapter 31. And I know that Brother Obed has gone over all these subjects. But what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like for us to see the virtuous woman. But I'd like to compare, before the class is over, what I'd like to do is for us to compare the virtuous woman to Jesus Christ and his church. And this is what my lesson is aimed at. If scripture talks about this virtuous woman, Jesus Christ has a bride. Jesus Christ has a wife. Should she be that virtuous woman? And that's my aim this morning. So I'd like to start with Proverbs chapter 31. And I just like to say this because, you know, we said that it's about spousal responsibilities. Dora and I have been married for 33 years now. We've got three children. You know, has it been, like Brother Joel likes to say, has it been a bed of roses? Yes or no? But we have to learn to make our relationship work. This is what we aim to do. And especially, brethren, if we think about these things, we think about having things in common in this relationship. What are some of the things that we need to have in common to make that relationship work? Thinking about this virtuous woman, what does this relationship have to have for it to function properly? Beliefs. I'm sorry? Beliefs? Okay. I think that that's the most important. Brother George said that believe, and especially believe in God. So if both husband and wife believe in God, that relationship is going to go smoother. What are some other things that this relationship between husband and wife need to have? Commitment. The relationship has to have a commitment. That was one of those are two of the ones that I had written down myself. Do you think that there needs to be trust in the relationship? Yes. Looking back, and I said that, you know, I've been married for 33 years. Do I know everything as far as marriage? No. Am I still learning? Yes. And I think that we will continue to learn. There are members here this morning that have been married longer than 33 years. And so there has to be commitment, there has to be trust, and these are, and I'll give you some of the points that I wrote down, commitment, trust, there has to be love, and there also has to be patience in the relationship. And these are just some of the things that I thought about as far as my relationship and what we need to have to make it function properly. But it has to be a godly relationship. We have to, like Brother George said, we have to keep God always in that relationship of husband and wife. And so let's begin with Proverbs chapter 31, because the first thing I'd like to do is I'd like for us to see this virtuous woman. What kind of woman is she? And before we begin, I'll ask this question. What do you see? What do you think is a virtuous woman to you? What is a virtuous woman? Okay, someone that does, that is obedient to God. That's a virtuous woman. Any other comments? Amen. And that's the point that we're going to get to, brother, before the class is over. And so let's begin with Proverbs chapter 31. Let's begin with verse 10. What I want to do is read the whole chapter, beginning with verse 10, and then we'll go back in and talk about this virtuous woman. And again, keep in mind that what we're going to do this morning is compare the virtuous woman with the bride of Christ. How they are the same. They should be the same. Let's begin with verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that she have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, as he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her out of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So we see here the virtuous woman. What kind of woman is she? And I'd like for us to look back at beginning with verse 10. A virtuous woman is of good character, but most of all, a godly character is that virtuous woman. Verse 10, listen to what verse 10 says. Who can find a virtuous woman? The second part of verse 10. For her price is far above rubies. The word that comes to mind is what? She is priceless. She is far worth more of these rubies. Verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So this virtuous woman is far above rubies, but she also has the trust of her husband. Do we have, as husbands and wives, do we have that trust in our wives? Do we have that trust in our husbands? It says here that she is far worth more than these rubies, and that her husband trusts her. He can leave the house. She can leave the house without a doubt. This is the virtuous woman. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Let's see what Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 has to say about this virtuous woman. And it kind of explains what we've read in verses 10 and 11. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The first part of that verse says, a virtuous woman is a crown to the husband. So if you set a crown on that husband, what does this mean about this virtuous woman? What is she doing that the husband can sit there and wear a crown? But we see here that she's a virtuous woman, so she's not going to be running around. She is a godly woman and makes her husband look good because of her actions, because of her godly virtues. She makes her husband look good. This is what Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 is saying. She makes her husband wear a crown. And so what Brother Joe has just said is that we need to put God before husband and wife. God has to be a part of the husband. God has to be a part of the wife individually. But God has to be present as one so that this relationship can function in a godly manner. And I'll just say this with his comments. If Jesus Christ, and this is going to be the second part of my lesson, but, it's already been commented on. If Jesus Christ is the head of the church, if he is the husband, and we, the body of Christ, the body of believers, if the church is the body, if we are the wife, then we, as the Lord's church, should be that virtuous woman, should be that wife, because we crown who? And we just read it here in Proverbs. We crown the king, which is who? The head of the church. Who is Christ? So all honor and glory goes to God through his son, Jesus Christ. Because we are that body. We are that virtuous woman. So like the virtuous woman is searching to please, to honor the husband, we, as the body of Christ, should look to honor Jesus Christ, the head of the church. So let's get back to Proverbs chapter 31, verses 15. So we see here in what we just read, that the virtuous woman looks to please and to make the husband look good. And I've heard this saying before, and I'm sure that you've heard it too. And it's just a saying that's out there. Behind a good man is a good woman, you know. And it's just a thought. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 31. Verses 15, I'd like to read verses 15, 17, and 20. And we're going to jump around these verses so that we can get into talking about the church. Verse 15 says, "She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens." She, verse 17 says, "She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengthens her arms." Verse 20 says, "She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hand to the needy." So we see here that not only does she make sure that her family has what is needed, the husband, children, and family have what they need, but she also extends her hand to who? Beyond that, even to the poor and the needy. Yes, sir.
I'm going to use this word. It might be wrong, but it's correct. She's not lazy. We tell her family, "Mija, get up, do stuff for your husband, clean the house, do this, do that." And we should do the same spiritually for the church. Get up, do something. What are you doing for the wife, for the church? What am I doing for the church? Sometimes we expect, we look that way, but we forget to look this way.
Sometimes it's just as easy as picking up your plate after you finish eating. Or also I see this. You're at the table, you're eating, and there's one piece, you know, of toast left. And you look at each other, and she lets you have it. So, you know, she's not thinking about herself. She's thinking about others. And so we see here that she doesn't only do for herself, for her family, but she stretches her arms for the needy. And like Brother Joe mentioned, he says that she is not lazy. She is not, and the word that Scripture uses here, that she is not idle. Because when we are in idle position, what happens? Or the thoughts come into our minds, other things, and we just start thinking about other ways. But we see here that she even has the strength to feed those that are in need. And I'd like to read Job chapter 38, verses 3, because it talks about, and I'd like to focus on what verse Proverbs 31 and verse 17 says, because, and I'll read this again, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. God tells Job in Job chapter 38, and you can read verses 1 through 11, but in verse 3, this is what God tells Job. He says, you need, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer, and answer thou me. So he's telling Job, Job is contemplating with everything that has happened with him. He's contemplating and he's questioning God and questioning everything that has happened to him. And we see here that God tells him, if you continue to read in Job chapter 38, he says, God tells him, you need to gird up your loins. In other words, you need to find that strength, because where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I separated the waters from the land to keep it from overflowing? Where were you? And this is what God is telling Job. He says, you need to gird up your loins. You need to find that strength to do what is right, to understand reason. This is what God is telling Job, and this is what we see in this virtuous woman. Another example, if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Yes, a comment that a brother just made is, as far as Job, that when all this calamity came upon Job, and he lost his children, and he lost what he had, first thing his wife tells him is, curse your God and die. And Job is trying to reason with all this. So Ephesians chapter 6, we also see here how Scripture tells us that we need to gird up our loins, and we see how it the Apostle Paul uses it here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, and let's begin with verse 10, because I think that verse 10 also goes with verse 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he's getting them prepared. He says, you need to be prepared. You need to put on the whole armor of God. And listen to what he says. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So prepare yourself. Make yourself strong. And according to what I look to, the loins are this part of the body. And he says, you need to gird up those loins. You need to make them strong because of what you are going to come against. He's telling them here, we don't have a fight.
It's like preparing for a battle.
preparing for a battle. We have to be prepared. And this is what we see in this virtuous woman. She is being told, you know, she has girded up her loins. She has made herself strong to serve her husband. She has prepared herself for what is to come. And we see that these verses back in the verses that we were reading, we see that she is prepared for everything. She has girded up her loins. I lost my spot here. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 31. And so we see how this woman, this virtuous woman, finds strength to battle what is to come, to be able to withstand, to be able to stand against these things that come against her. The last verses that I'd like to read in Proverbs chapter 31 is verses 23 and 25. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So even her husband, because of this virtuous woman, they see the husband. And they see that he has a virtuous woman by her actions. This is what Proverbs is saying. She makes the husband shine. She makes the husband well known. She gives the honor to the husband. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The virtuous woman. Beauty is vain and favor is deceitful. All that's going to end. But the virtues of this woman, of this godly woman, are going to show what? Her beauty. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 with these thoughts in mind. First Peter chapter 3. Verses 1 through 7. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjections to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without word be won by the conversation of the views. Isn't that what it was telling us about the virtuous woman? That they can tell just by looking at the husband, being around the husband, the type of wife that he has? And here, Peter is telling us here that wives, be in subjections to your husbands, that if those that are around you that do not obey, do not know of God, by your actions, they will what? Be won. By your actions. by seeing your virtues, your godly virtues, they will be one. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that of an outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. And verse 7 says, likewise you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. As husband, what is your goal? As a godly man, what is your goal? Eternity with God. As a wife, as a woman, what is your goal? Eternity with God. And if you put those two together, there is one thing in common there, and that is to reach the same goal that we have in Jesus Christ, is eternity with God. And so we see here, but he's telling here, he says to the woman, directly to the women here, Peter is saying that do not dress yourself, what? With pearls. Do not dress yourself with the outer appearance. But he's saying here to dress yourself with what? That inner man. That spiritual person in God. And listen to what verse 4, the last part of verse 4 says, which is in the sight of God of great price. Did we read that back in about the virtuous woman? That the virtuous woman was what? Her price. She was priceless. Far more price than the rubies. This woman here that Peter describes, if you don't think about the outer person, but that inner person, that inner person that we should be, the inner virtues or the spiritual virtues that we should have is a great price before God. But he also tells the man, what? To love his wife. So like Brother Joe said earlier, it works both ways. Now, if women are supposed to honor the husbands, what are we supposed to do as husbands? Honor God. So if we're both honoring God, there's a godly relationship there. So we see here the virtuous woman and the virtues that she has and that she holds. Now I'd like to compare it with the church. If we see all these virtues that this woman has, how does that compare to the church? Let's turn over to Ephesians. And we have a few minutes left in our class. So let's begin with Ephesians chapter 5. Let's begin with verse 20. And now we're going to talk about the church. And how we as a church are that virtuous woman, and we need to look to please whom? The husband. Whether you be a man or a woman in the church, we are in subjection to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And so if Jesus bought the church and shed his blood for it, we are that wife. We should be that virtuous woman that looks to please Christ, because he is the head of the church. And this is what these verses say. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is in subjection unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is what Christ, as the husband, this is what he's done for the bride. That he's given his life for it. This is why the Apostle Paul here compares husband and wife, Christ and his body, Christ and his wife. And if we are members of the Lord's church, we are members of his body, we are the bride, we are the wife. We should be that virtuous woman that looks to please whom? To please God in his son, Jesus Christ. This is the comparison that we need to make with this virtuous woman and the church. But I like what verse 27 has to say. That Jesus might present it to himself what? A glorious church. Not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Didn't we just read that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain? But we see here that Jesus talks about his church, that it doesn't have any spots, that it has no wrinkles. Now, like Brother Joe also mentioned, we, as that virtuous woman, and as we read it about the virtuous woman, we need to do our part as being that faithful wife, as being that godly wife, as looking to please God, as the wife, as the church. The last verse that I'd like to read is in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 24. And with this, we'll close our class this morning. And Jesus, we see here that Jesus will one day give that kingdom back to God. That kingdom that is spotless, that kingdom that is without wrinkle. Listen to what verse 24 has to say, what the Apostle Paul says here. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. And who is the kingdom? The body, the church. What's it saying here? That when the end cometh, Christ will have delivered that virtuous woman, that spotless woman, to God. Even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And so, I leave you with this thought. Are we that virtuous woman as individuals, whether you be man or woman? Are we being that virtuous woman as a whole, as the church, to please God? Thank you very much for your attention, and this ends our class for this morning.